You're listening to Hey Bitches Podcast, episode 87. Today's episode of Hey Bitches is brought to you by Scope, y'all. I know firsthand how hard it can be to find the right influencers to represent your brand. I've spent countless hours scrolling through Instagram, requesting analytics, and so much more. And let me tell you, it's time-consuming. Cue Scope. Scope helps brands find and manage influencers in the easiest way possible. Gone are the days of the endless scroll. Say hello to fast and easy info. Head to scopeapp.io/heybitches to start your 1 week free trial today. That's scopeapp.io/heybitches for a 1 week free trial today. Hey bitches, what is up you guys? It's your girl Carly. Welcome back to Hey Bitches Podcast. Hope you guys are having an incredible day. In today's episode, we are sitting down to chit chat business. This is something that you guys ask me about all the time. And so today I wanted to break down a couple things like hiring my team, the biggest regrets that I had in business this year, things that I would do differently, and so much more. So without further ado, let's get into the episode. So before we get into like the nitty gritty of the whole business side of like what I would do differently and change, I thought I would just give you guys like a refresh on my backstory with business and, you know, how I came to be where I'm at and all of that, because some of you guys are new and that's totally fine and you have not been with me since day one. So I thought I'd give y'all a little refresher. So in January of the beginning of the year, literally, I think it was like January 3rd, I actually walked into the office that I was working at. I was working at a real estate company at the time. I walked into the office after I had class, set my stuff down at my desk, and the owner walked up to me and was like, "Hey, like, can we talk?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure." I go upstairs, go into the office, and he's like, "Yeah, we're letting you go." I was like, "Wait, what the fuck?" And so, I mean, it wasn't like it was anything crazy. I think that it was just a small company. They weren't replacing me or anything. They were just getting rid of my position. So I was like, okay, well, fuck. Like, for one, like, fuck. And then I was like, okay, well, that's that on that. And so at this time too, I was also finishing my degree. I was in my last semester of my degree and I literally had just started school basically because it was the beginning of the year. And so I was like, oh, fuck. Well, I guess I no longer have a job. So that was a crazy experience. That's actually the second time that's happened to me because my job before that I also got let go of. And you might be like, girl, what? What the fuck? And I've talked about this. I actually talked about this on my friend Kaylee's podcast, Self Care Sunday. But I was like, you know what? Something that I've really learned this year is that I'm a great entrepreneur, but I'm a shitty employee. So I'm sure that had a lot to do with it. But I was like, fuck, what am I going to do? And so I researched some things. I was like, okay, well, maybe I could go on unemployment. However, when you are applying for unemployment, you can't be a student. And I had 3 more months to finish my degree. So I was like, there's no way that I'm deferring this to go on unemployment for the time. So I basically had no job and no source of income, and I was like, fuck. And so this, like I said, was in January, and then I had to go to New York Fashion Week in February. I already paid for my hotel and my flights and all of that, and I was like, oh my God, what am I going to do now? So, you know, I got my last paycheck, and I got my whatever severance pay, and that was great. It kept me afloat for a little bit, went to New York, and earlier in that year, I had done like one singular brand deal, but it definitely was not anything compared to like the money that I make now or the brand deals that I do now, but it did help me kind of stay afloat. And so in February, I was just like, well, I don't want to go back to a regular job. Going to New York and seeing all of that and like living that experience, I was like, I don't want to do it. Like, I want to do blogging. I want to be an influencer. Like, I've been trying to do this for 6 years and I've been let go from both of my jobs. Like, I feel like this is kind of a sign. So I decided not to go back. And so I'm very lucky. Like, I live with my family currently and I didn't have a lot of expenses or anything. My tuition was already paid. And so I was like, you know what? I'ma just be broke and try to figure this out. And so what I ended up doing is just focusing on my content, on my audience and all of that. And I had a really, really great year growth-wise. So, I mean, I grew probably definitely at least 100,000 followers on TikTok. The podcast hit 100,000 downloads this year. I was able to hire an incredible team. I have a great manager. I have, you know, all of these really awesome, strong friendships. I've had all of these incredible opportunities. But earlier in the year, like before any of this came to me, I was really just focused on the content and the people, and it paid off for me in the end. And if you guys are interested in kind of an episode about that, I did one episode about my TikTok strategy, but if you're interested in like an overall type of strategy, let me know on Instagram and I'll do that episode for you. But that's kind of just like my business background history situation up until probably March-ish. And then April, I ended up launching a merch collection, which at the time was literally just supposed to be merch. Like it was just like creator merch, which is not like unheard of. Like a lot of people do creator merch. And so I was like, okay, cool. I'm gonna just drop it. I dropped it. It did really well. And so many people were like, we want more. We want this. We want XYZ. And then from there, it snowballed into a full-blown thing. We did a Pride collection drop, and then we did a full, you know, custom manufactured drop. And so that is where I'm at right now with that. I currently sit at 23,000 followers on Instagram, which is great. My goal for this year is 25K. And yeah, the podcast is doing great. YouTube's doing great. And that's kind of, I guess, my business background of this year so far. And so you might be sitting there and you might be like, okay, Carly, all this sounds fucking great. What do you mean? Like regrets and da da da, like what? And I feel like, you know, on social media, a lot of us like to share when we're winning. I like to share like all of it, but not every single move that I made this year was the correct move, you know, business-wise and also financially. And I just wanted to come on here and talk about it and just chit-chat with you guys and just be real about it, because a lot of you guys, I think, are in similar positions as I was at the beginning of the year, where you're transitioning, you want to follow your passion, you want to do all these things. And I wanted to just come on here and just share my insights, because this is something that I loved learning from other people, which I think helped navigate me away from other certain types of mistakes that I didn't have to make on my own. But there were some mistakes that I did make on my own, things I should have done that I didn't, that I wanted to share to help you guys become the best versions of yourself in whatever you're doing. So, first things first, let's get into hiring my team. I just want to say that this is not a regret. This is not something I would do differently or anything like that. But I have gotten some questions about, you know, Carly, how did you hire a team? How did you find people? How did you da 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 da? And I wanted to kind of share the process with you, because this was a whole brand new world for me, because I had never hired anybody before, because I've never made the money that I've made. So I hadn't been able to pay anybody or do anything. So the first thing that I did is I consulted with a bunch of my friends. So a lot of my friends have had employees before. I also was really fortunate that I took employment in the workplace law. And so I had a little bit of a background on that and how that worked. We also have to take our HR classes in my business degree. So I took like a couple like rudimentary HR type of classes. And then my male best friend, Gage, he also has an HR diploma. So he was a good resource. But basically, I just like chit-chatted with everybody and I was like, hey, like, how was your experience on this? Da-da-da-da, all of this. And then I also had to email my accountant and be like, hey, if I hire, like, how do I pay these people? Like, do they send me this, or do I send them, like, do I make them employees, like actual employees, and I like incorporate and I do this and da-da-da-da. And so with my accountant, we actually decided that hiring people as independent contractors was the best way to go, because I'm just a small corp. I'm not even a corporation. I'm just a small sole proprietorship. And so that's where I'm at with my employees right now. They are independent contractors, and it works great for me and for the business and for them. But after that, I was like, okay, well, what the fuck am I going to do now? And so what I ended up doing is I created a Google form, like a Google, I guess I just call it Google Forms, but I made like a hiring application portal. And so originally, I actually was looking for an assistant. And I think that at the time, like, because it's someone I'd never hired before or anything like that, I was like, an assistant makes the most sense. Like, I think I need help with that, you know, on emails. This was also a period in my life where everything was getting really overwhelming in terms of keeping up with emails and contracts and like deals and all of that, because I had never had the amount of work that I've had before and I didn't exactly know how to navigate it. And I felt like I was falling behind. So I was like, an assistant would be great to like handle my emails and make sure I'm on top of things and X, XYZ. And in theory, that is great. And I think in the future too, I'd like to hire an assistant. However, the job quickly morphed after this Google form went out. So I had a lot of people apply. It was really great. And something that people also asked me in the DMs and on Facebook and all of this is like, you know, how did you put it out there? And so I literally used every form of social media that I had, like Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, Facebook, like everything. I was like, I'm hiring. And so I liked it this way versus putting it on like a Kijiji or an Indeed or something like that, because the people who applied are people who know me and I didn't have to educate them on what I did or anything like that. Like they're people who at least have some type of understanding of what I do, the person that I am online and all of that. And so I kind of preferred that over, I guess, quote unquote, opening it up to whoever via like those hiring websites. So I was really lucky to have a bunch of incredible applicants. I got everybody to send me over their resumes and all of that. And so I, after that, just conducted interviews. And so I did Google Meet interviews or Zoom interviews or whatever, where I met with them quote unquote face to face and chit chatted and asked them a bunch of questions. This was a weird type of phase for me because I was like, what do I even ask these people? Like, I really had to like Google hard and ask around because I haven't done a job interview in forever, like on the receiving end. And definitely I've never done a job interview on like the giving end where I was the person hiring. So I had to do a lot of research on like what questions to ask, what you can and can't ask and all of that. But I think it went well. I asked everybody the same type of question. I got a good feel for the people. And from there, what I really made sure to do was to email everyone, like regardless on how I felt, like if I was or wasn't going to hire them, everyone, and you know, thank them for their time and be like, hey, actually, I didn't email them. I said this on the FaceTime or not the FaceTime, on the Google Meet. I was like, I'll send you an email at this time period, letting you know either way, because I think that's just respectful. It's not like I have 10,000 people who applied for the position. So I was like, I'll let you know either way, which I did. And I think that was kind of, you know, a good courteous thing to do on my end. After I did interviews, this is kind of where I realized that an assistant maybe wasn't exactly what I was looking for. So I actually ended up interviewing these two different girls, Maddie and Michelle. So Maddie is my podcast editor. She's awesome. She's obviously listening to this right now. And then Michelle is my YouTube editor. And so I interviewed the both of them and I was like, you know what? They have these strong skill sets in these different types of work, like one in YouTube and one in like audio engineering. And I was like, you know what would be better if I was able to just take that off my plate, because then I can create better organizational systems and understanding for me and like be able to manage my own workflow and life easier than having to do all that or just handing it off to someone. Instead, I was like, what if I do that with the podcast and with YouTube? Because I mean, editing is not like super, super difficult. It was just really time consuming for me. And between having to create all the content and then have to editing it and then have to, you know, send it to people and get feedback and da da da, I was like, I don't have time. Like I genuinely just didn't have time for that. But I wanted to retain more of the organizational stuff than I guess hiring an assistant would solve for me. So what I ended up doing is in the interview, I guess this is a complete side note, but something that I wrote down in my notes for this show is that I always was upfront also with the amount of money that I was able to pay. And so I think this is also very important. I think that a lot of jobs are like, this is the salary range or da da da. And I'm like, this is what I'm able to pay for the amount of hours. Like, is that okay with you? I mean, I gave people opportunity. I gave people literally just like, this is what I could offer. And I think that was very important because I think you should always be upfront with money. And also at the same time, like I knew what I was offering wasn't comparable to like a regular company because I'm not a Fortune 500. Like I can't be out here paying, you know, $75,000 salaries because I don't even make that much to be able to pay myself that much and other people. So I honestly just had to be really transparent with the information upfront and make sure everybody was comfortable with what they were getting paid. And I'm really lucky that even when I went back to Maddie and Michelle and I was like, hey, you know what? I actually want to split the position in half. So it's going to be less hours, but also, you know, less money. Is this something you'd still be interested in? I was really lucky that they were like, yes, like that would be something I'm interested in. And I'm very, very, very happy with my choice. Like, I think our little team team is incredible. I actually saw them interacting on Twitter and it was like the cutest. It was like a proud mom moment. Like I think Michelle asked like for recommendations from Disney Plus and Maddie replied to it. And I was like, oh my God, that's my team. They're so cute. They're being friends. Like, and I mean, I think that's probably just like a me thing. Like I'm just like, oh my God, yes. Because at the end of the day, we're a virtual team. So like we've never met anyone in person, but like when I see everybody just hanging out and working together and all of that, like it makes my little heart so full and so happy. So that is kind of, I guess, how I built the team. As far as the other people on my team go, I have a manager who is incredible. I've talked to her on the podcast before. I've been on her podcast. She's been on mine. And Kaylee is incredible. I absolutely love working with her. She is my friend first, manager second. And I think because of that, we really have a really good understanding of the business that's good for me. She also is very knowledgeable and very experienced in the industry. So when I come to her with ideas, like she gives me real and honest feedback based on her experience, but also because she knows me so well, she's like, yes, we can do this. I think you can do this, or no, or da da da. And like she knows me and I respect her opinion on things, and that is just, it's just such a good team, and I really, really appreciate that. And then the last person on the team is my accountant. And so what I actually love about this too is, so me and Kaylee share the same accountant. So a lot of the things, especially like how me and Kaylee work in terms of getting paid, it was really easy to figure out because we share the same accountant, and we just had to email our accountant and be like, hey, like, you know, I owe Kaylee a certain percentage of my income. Like, how do you want to see this on the back end so both of our taxes are good, or both of our, like, you know, accounting is good, and XYZ. And my accountant's great. She specializes in the creative industry. And so she is awesome when I'm trying to figure things out. Like recently, I know I mentioned at the beginning of the episode that I live at home right now. However, I just signed a lease on a brand new apartment. And so when I was going to do that, I haven't been self-employed for a year. Like I said, like I literally left my job in January, so it hasn't even been a year. I obviously have not filed any taxes because the tax year isn't even done. And so I was like, hey, I need to provide proof of income. Like, do you have anything that you'd be able to do? And she sent me over an income statement and all of this. And she was like, yeah. And I was like, this is great, because she's so used to dealing with people who are in the creative industry. So those are like the other two people on the team. And YGK is a full five people strong, which is crazy to say that, you know, I pay five people, including me, every single month. Like, that's crazy. And so that's kind of how I built my team, the team where it's at right now. And then I think, you know, looking towards the future, like I said earlier, an assistant is someone that I probably will be looking to bring on after the whole COVID situation is resolved. Like, I'd love to hire someone local that I'd be able to, you know, be like, hey, I need you on these days, XYZ, we got to shoot this content, we have to film this, we have to da 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 da, like, can you pick this up? Can you do this? XYZ, like that kind of situation. Obviously, it's not, won't be a full-time position, but something like that where I'd, one, be able to make a good connection with someone in real life that is for the business, and also to take the workload off of me, but also make me more accountable, because I feel like if I hire someone and I'm like, okay, we gotta shoot, and like they're working that day, I'm like, well, fuck, we gotta shoot. I'm not gonna make you just sit around all day and like clean my house, which I mean, I wouldn't anyways, but you know what I mean? That was just a theoretical, but that's kind of where I'm at in terms of like my next hire. I definitely think my next hire, I want to be an assistant and like an IR assistant. So I guess stay tuned for that if you guys are interested in working for me. I would definitely hit a girl up with a follow on Instagram. I'm at your girl Carly on Instagram, because that's kind of where I announce that kind of stuff first. So with that being said, I think that is kind of like the big breakdown of how I hired my team, the team right now, and also the team for the future. Next up on our business breakdown, we have my biggest regrets. And so when I was writing this down, I realized I don't actually have many big regrets. I think the only big regret, I only really have one that I wanted to talk about, and it pertains to merch. And you might be like, Carly, what? Like, we just talked about merch. Like, it was going so well, da da da. And that's not to say it's not going well. Like, it's been a great experience. I have learned so much. I'm the kind of person who like learns by fire. Like, you need to throw me in the fucking pit and then I'll figure it out, because if not, I will spend way too long just analyzing and trying to figure it out and trying to do a million things, and it will never get done. And so on one hand, that's really good. I think that it has really helped me to reach certain levels of success in my career and my life, like that personality trait. However, on the other hand, it's gotten me into a lot of situations where what I've been doing maybe isn't the correct choice, and I've actually been impacted by it financially. So the first, like, I guess, example of this that really showed me that I have this like wild in personality about that in my life is a couple years ago, I was really determined to put on a conference for female entrepreneurs in business. And so I didn't really know much back then. I didn't know anything about putting together conferences or anything. I wasn't an event planner. I didn't have any type of event planner friends. I was just like, well, I want to do it. I'm going to figure it out. And so I had to push the date and push the date and push the date. But I had already put down a deposit or whatever for a venue. And I was definitely way past the time that I ever could have gotten my money back. And at the end of the day, the event never happened. And I basically was out like $1,500 or something like that. Like, that is money I will never see again in my life. And you know, that is a time where I really learned that sometimes things do need a little more planning. And so with that being said, I wanted to talk about kind of my biggest regrets with the merch. This is something that I haven't talked about on social media because, I mean, it's very long-winded, and I think the podcast was a better place to kind of sit and chit-chat about it. It's not that I regret doing the merch at all or anything like that, like at all. It's just I've kind of had better hindsight. You know, they always say hindsight 2020, now that I've already done it. So the first thing in this, you know, regrets about the merch, I guess kind of the only thing, is that if I could do it again, I would not release 3 full colors. And the reason behind this is it lies in what manufacturing actually takes. So I briefly talked about this in a conference that I spoke at. However, I'll just recap it very quickly. But for me, like, the merch line wasn't just I ordered in a bunch of blank items and I got them printed and I got them shipped out. You know what I mean? I had to size grade every single item. I had to create the sizing for everything, for the sweatpants, for the sweaters. I had to do back and forth on samples. I had to pick the fabric. I had to make sure everything was okay. And then I had to pick the logo colors and all of this, but I had to do this all remotely during a pandemic and figure it the fuck out. And I also had to work with something called an MOQ, which is a minimum order quantity. And this is where it kind of fucked me. So for this particular launch, I had to do a minimum order quantity of 100 units per color per style. So that means I have a total of 600 units. So 300 of the sweaters, 100 each in blue, pink, and yellow, and then 3 colors of the sweatpants, 100 each in blue, pink, and yellow. And so this was, I think, a little too ambitious for a baby startup. Looking back, what I should have done is just do a limited quantity, like 100 sweatsuits, so that's 200, you know, units, 100 sweatsuit run in one color with all of the inclusive sizing. And so looking back, I should have done it this way because taking on 600 units is a lot. And I feel like, you know, you hear that number and you're like, Carly, of course it's a lot. But then in my head, I was like, well, that's only 300 sweatsuits. And, you know, we basically did 100 sales in the first launch. So like, that's like half of them right there. And so that was kind of my logic behind it. And it makes sense. It's not to say that that was irrational, even if you ran the numbers like on a forecasting system, which I actually had to do for my business loan that I will speak about soon. that is not like an unrealistic forecast or presumption to make with the data that we had prior to the launch. And so I was like, okay, cool. Like, I think it'll be fine. However, you know, what I should have done in hindsight is either scaled it back to just 100 sweatsuits, or what I should have done is partnered with a company that was already offering inclusive sizing to maybe even do some type of profit split where I designed an item for their line, but they already had to be ordering things and going into production, so I didn't have to burden the entire cost of production. And you might be like, okay, Carly, like, we get it. Like, it was money, but like, let me tell you, like, it was a lot of money to do this. Hey, it's Carly, popping in to remind you that today's episode is brought to you by Scope. As a brand owner, there's been times where I've found one great influencer who I loved and loved working with, but then I couldn't find any more that gave me the same vibe. Now, I've ditched that problem with Scope. I use the lookalike feature to find similar influencers that truly align with me and my brand. The best part? It's fast and it's easy. Head to scopeapp.io/heybitches to start your 1 week free trial today. That's scopeapp.io/heybitches for a 1 week free trial today.
So first things first, I guess we'll talk about this first, is my business loan. So I actually applied for a business loan and I got it, and it's $10,000. So first of all, it cost me at least $10,000 to do this line. Now we have to think about things like shipping and import, and my fucking container got searched by border security, which was another like 100 whatever US dollars, and all of this. And all in all, this whole process to get 300 sweatsuits manufactured, imported, paid for in terms of GST cost me like $15,000. And if you are fucking dying on the floor, so am I, sis. Like, it's a lot of money. And so when I think about that, I'm like, $15,000. Like, that's fucking crazy. Now, if I were to break that into, you know, a third, I don't even know what a third of 15 is. It's probably what, like 3.5? Or 4, 8, 12. Yeah, 4.5-ish. So $4,000 versus $15,000 is so completely different. And I feel like, you know, like I said earlier, like, it was not that much of a reach. Like, it really wasn't, but it has taught me a lot about growing slow versus thinking you can overachieve. And so my biggest regret, I would say, is thinking that I could overachieve. And that's not even doubting myself and my ability. It's just like, this is something I'd never done before. And having 600 units was so overly ambitious for me. And I'm really realizing that now. Can I do anything about that now? Absolutely not. The only thing I can do is continue to sell and have a great community that supports me. And I'm very, very thankful for that. However, once things are sold out and, you know, my business loan is paid back and all of that, I am going to just take a really hard look at what merch and the clothing line looks like in the future. That's not to say I'm going to stop it. I just really need to reel it back in and kind of understand what I can offer from, you know, a fiscally responsible point of view, and also like a bandwidth point of view, because at the end of the day too, I'm a one-woman show. Like, nobody else is behind the brand in terms of logistics. Like, I do have a warehouse which does do the shipping for me, but it's not like I have, you know, a silent partner or even a loud partner, which is not a real thing, but a partner just in general in the business. Like, it's just me. So I would say that whole thing was the biggest regret. The clothing line in general was not a regret whatsoever. The biggest regret, I think, for me was just thinking that I really could overachieve, and then also in a smaller amount of time. Like, I was really convinced that we would be selling out by the end of this year, which can still happen for sure. I mean, I'm always keeping a positive attitude about it, but I think I was just a little too overambitious, and, you know, spending that amount of money, taking on that amount of debt, probably was not the wisest move for me and was probably my biggest regret of 2020 in terms of business. With that being said, I also wanted to talk about, you know, things that I would do differently. And this isn't necessarily things that I regret, because I don't regret doing any of these things I'm going to talk about, but it's things that I probably, you know, now that I've experienced them, I would be doing differently? So first things first on the list is to hire an accountant earlier on. I don't think I actually hired my accountant until like July. And this was, I guess, because I wasn't really making as much money as I am now. I didn't need things like a GST number like I have now or anything like that. And I was like, you know what? I'll be fine. Like when I hit this. And delaying it was just not the vibe. Like it just was not the vibe. There was no point in me delaying it whatsoever because I had to, one, pay a catch-up fee to my accountant. So I had to pay a lump sum anyways of money. So there was no point in me delaying that. And then two, I, you know, added stress onto them, added stress onto me. Like, what if I wanted to move then? And like, they didn't have any type of income, anything for me to like give to an apartment or anything like that. So that is something that I definitely would have done differently, is basically hire an accountant from like my first serious paycheck, which probably was in like April. I probably should have hired an accountant then versus hiring one like July, August. My next thing that I would do differently is something that I actually preach all the time on social media, and it's about being more consistent. And so I think that this past like couple months, probably this past like quarter, past like 3 months, I've really done a good job of being consistent, especially on Instagram, which is the platform that I used to struggle the most with, as well as YouTube and the podcast. And obviously, you know, having an editor for the podcast and for YouTube helps me to be more consistent, but it also keeps me a lot more accountable because there's people who rely on me to get them the content to do their job. And so I like this because it forces me in a way to do my job. Because I mean, it's not to say that I'm like super lazy and I don't want to do anything and XYZ. I just have a million things going on. And sometimes I'm burnt out and I would like to not do something, or sometimes I am just lazy and I just rather not. But I have to sit down and I have to get my shit done because there's other people who are depending on me. And so I think that earlier, like if I could have done this earlier, I would have done it. Like I would have, for one, hired earlier. But to go back to the point, is to be more consistent, because who knows, if I was more consistent, I could be in this position earlier on in the year if I, you know, was posting more and being more interactive with people and being more engaging in XYZ. I could have been at the place that I am or better. The next one that I definitely would do differently and sooner is to learn to not rely on others to get the content that I needed. And so the pandemic, I feel like, really put this into perspective for a lot of people. So many of us were used to shooting with our friends or hiring a photographer or doing anything like that. And then, you know, we had full lockdown in like March, April, May type of situation where we actually just couldn't see people and nobody was traveling or doing anything. And I was like, holy fuck, like I can't shoot with any of my friends because we're not supposed to be outside and we're not supposed to be doing any of this and XYZ. And I was like, what am I gonna do? And so this year really forced me to get better with shooting my own content. I was actually really inspired by my friend Lo, who I think talked about on 2 episodes ago, the secondhand breakup. But I was really inspired by her because she literally became this like at-home content goddess. Everything she shot was so good. And I was like, holy fuck, like I don't even take my own photos like most of the time. And this was like way back in the beginning of the year. Now I shoot all of my own content because I've taken the time to really learn and understand it and create good content that I can get on my own. Something that I wish that I had learned earlier on, like regardless of the pandemic, but this really highlighted this problem in my life, is not to rely on others to get my content done. And a lot of this really just pertains to like the visual content. So like Instagram and TikTok and YouTube, because I was doing a lot of cool like effects and stuff with my best friend Nikki because she was here all the time, but then we suddenly couldn't do that. And I was like, oh fuck, like how am I gonna do this? Like how am I gonna do these effects and these transitions and da da da? And I just had to figure it the fuck out. And I feel like if I would have learned that earlier on, it would have been a way easier transition for me content wise, which also would have actually probably helped me to be more consistent on all of the other platforms to, you know, figure out how to do it on my own. And now, like, I literally today woke up, did my morning routine, all of that, did some work, and I got ready and I shot the photo that went up on my Instagram literally today, like, on my own. And I think that that is something that I've definitely learned, but it's something that I wish that, you know, I would do differently earlier on if I had the knowledge that I have now. The next thing that I think I would do differently is to invest more of my money into the business versus spending it leisurely. And so I think this is something that happens to a lot of people when they get into money for the first time. And so when I say for the first time, I was really making money on my own and it was starting to turn into substantial money. And I finally had what I felt like enough money to, you know, live, even though I didn't have expenses, but like live and then also spend and not feel guilty about. And so, like I said, I think this happens to a lot of people who, you know, when you get a new job and you have a new salary and you're like, oh fuck, this is more than I made at this place in XYZ, you want to have that experience of quote unquote financial freedom to you. So there are times where I was just spending money left and right and I was doing things and all of this. And I was like, it's fine because I make money. And this is like a mindset that I also like to hold, is that I don't like to feel that way about money anymore, like spending it and regretting it and feeling bad or having any type of scarcity mindset around money, because I think that that is something that really held me back in the past as well, is like me being afraid to spend money and then in turn not making money, versus now, like, I invest in my business and I spend money and I don't feel bad about it because I know that more money is coming my way regardless. But what I wish I could would have, I guess, done earlier and like understood earlier is to invest a lot more of that money into my business versus spending it like leisurely and on myself. And so something that I wish I would have done earlier in terms of like the money is to hire earlier with that money that I probably should not be have spent, I guess, more leisurely. And I should have just put that money into hiring people and delegating and leveling up. And also too, like, it took me until November to upgrade my computer. And arguably I didn't actually have to upgrade the computer. Okay. Like I didn't need a new one, but it has helped my workflow so much. I've been so much more productive with it. And I'm like, damn, I could have done this like 4 months ago if I wasn't just spending my money on things leisurely versus like reinvesting it back into my business. So that is something that I definitely have learned and I definitely would have done differently if I had the knowledge that I do now. But this is like a message to you if you are in the same type of situation. I know that you want to buy that. My guilty pleasure is technology. So like I would like buy an iPad or an Apple Watch or like a new camera or something like that under the guise that it was for the business. Whereas like, I mean, a lot of it actually just wasn't, but I know that you want to buy those things like that designer bag or that designer shoe because it makes you feel good. And I'm definitely not the one to advocate against that. Like I bought myself a $400 perfume this year because I was like, I can afford this. And this literally signifies me becoming the person that I want to become. So I'm not saying like you shouldn't spend your money on things that you love, but I think you should maybe instead of going out for that fourth cocktail happy hour of the week when we could, maybe save that money and invest it into your business, like get a business email or start a blog or do something like that, buy a tool that would help you be better at your business or anything like that. So that's kind of my advice on that and something I also would have done differently. The next thing that I would have done differently had I known everything and been in the position that I'm in right now is to be more on top of my peripheral social media. And you might be like, girl, what the fuck is peripheral social media? And for me, this is things like the podcast Instagram and Confidence Club Instagram. And so I feel like this is a situation where I just have so many things to juggle and not enough hands. But I wish, you know, with this conversation about money and hiring and all of that earlier, I probably could have gotten a better handle on my peripheral social media earlier in the year if I had known this is something that I probably should have done differently. But what I'm saying is that my Hey Bitches Instagram truly is suffering. Like there has not been a single post since I started the account. And I look at it and I'm like, this is such wasted opportunity, but I just can't put the energy into it. And so I wish that earlier on in the year, I would have figured out a good strategy and I would have created good assets and consulted with a graphic designer and done all the things that I'm doing now earlier so that I could have given that peripheral social media, like Confidence Club, like Hey Bitches, the attention that it deserves to become something that is incredible. Because I think, like, on the platforms that it's on, obviously on the podcasting platforms, you guys are awesome. You guys listen to the show. I really appreciate it. But on Instagram, it just falls flat, and that's absolutely my fault. But it is something that I wish I would have done differently. It's just been more on top of it. The last two things that I would have done differently are very hand in hand with each other. And the first one is to relaunch my blog. And so this is a spoiler alert. I probably only am going to talk about it on the podcast, so surprise, but I'm relaunching my blog in January. And so for me, I actually started as a blogger. I didn't start off as an influencer, although I feel like a lot of people think I did, but I started off as a blogger. I coded my own whole website. Like, I was a blogger. I didn't have anything else but a blog. And so that's how I started this whole social media journey. And I don't know where it fell off or anything like that, but eventually I just took my site down and I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. And, you know, I think maybe that was the correct move at the time. And I was able to explore different mediums and platforms, and obviously I've had a lot of growth and success from that. However, something that I've been realizing more and more and more, especially too with earlier in the year, the threat of TikTok going away and Instagram becoming a dumpster fire and like YouTube no longer paying what it used to and XYZ, I was like, I really need to have a place where I can control it. Like, with the blog, I feel like so many people preach this. I'm going to be that person again because I truly believe it. And this is advice I have not been taking of my own. But with a blog, you own everything on that platform. Like, nobody can really take that away from you. That is your home base, where if your all of your social media disappeared, your blog would still be there. And I, you know what, you can also make that argument for the podcast, because podcasts also are not just regulated by one person. But a blog is something that will always be there. And having a good blog audience or viewership or readership is just as important, but I think it's just less glamorous today because we have things like TikTok and YouTube and Instagram, and nobody is really wanting to put in the work of written word. And so that's kind of how I felt for a long time. But blogging is not dead. I think a lot of people think it's dead. It's definitely not. And it's something that I really wish I would have kickstarted again when my audience started to really grow again versus waiting a full year to do it. But you know, you live and you learn. And then the second thing that ties into this is being more on top of my email newsletter. And so this is me kind of diving into, you know, my actual marketing side, and y'all might be like, oh my God, she's actually smart, what the fuck? Surprise. But the email list is so valuable. Like, I think the statistic is something like 3 times the amount of people on your email list buy versus anybody on your social media, which totally makes sense because when you give over your email, like, that is like your internet currency. You know what I mean? Like, when you give someone over your email to like get newsletters and emails and whatever from them, you are trusting to have a good experience with them, for them to not sell your information or send you shitty things or anything like that. Like, you are trusting in them. And so I have just emails that I'm sitting on that I've collected from things like the merch line or like other type of things that I've done this year. And I just don't use it. Like, I don't send out emails. I don't send out newsletters. And I just think that's dumb. And that's something that I probably should have done differently, is capitalize on that sooner. But like I said, it's just something, I guess my bandwidth was just not there for it. However, it's something that I really want to focus on in the new year, because there are certain newsletters that I enjoy getting. Like, I don't want to be the person that sends you out like a spammy newsletter. I want to have, like, you know, a good conversation, a blog post. And I think you guys really understand my personality, especially to seeing it on Instagram and watching it on YouTube and listening to the podcast and all of that. Like, I think that I can get my personality and all of that across via a blog or a written word or a newsletter. And I want to start sharing with you guys kind of more in that way. And it also is just a strategic business move. So restarting, I guess, my blog and really getting good with newsletters is something that I also would have done differently this year. And also, now that I'm thinking about it, maybe it's something that I'll make a hire for next year, like getting on top of that. Maybe that is like the assistant role, whatever. But those are things that definitely I would do differently with the, you know, knowledge and my life experiences where I'm at now. That's what I would do differently. And I wanted to just share that with you guys in case you guys are in that same type of situation where you're like, I don't know if I do this or I don't know if I do this. Those were all of the things that I would do differently if I had the knowledge that I have today. That is it for today's episode. I really hope you guys enjoyed it. If you did, make sure to screenshot this episode and share it over on Instagram and tag me at Hey Bitches Podcast. I would absolutely love to chat shit with you guys in the DMs about today's episode. Before you go, make sure to subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you are an Apple Podcast listener, make sure to give the podcast a 5-star rating and review. It really helps me out and I would really appreciate it. I love you guys so much. I hope you guys have an incredible day. And for now, bye-bye, bitch.